Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, good morning, America. Good morning to Erica, who gave me good and have a watch. Good morning, America. Good day, New York. Have a good day in court. My niggas drive around the hood looking for good, yeah, to snort. I never liked the goodbyes. Always caught a good vibe. Always had a good time. Could always find a good guy. From a good guy, with good lives, with good lives, with good try. You know that old saying, what they say about good guys. I guess that's why I'm with bad. Needed all my chicks bad. Fiends needed his bad. Started hitting licks bad. Had to get that work off before that shit went bad. If not, it gets bad, and things are only getting bad, so now I'm getting basking, and I got that bad jam, telling me them bad sins, so I'm catching bad breaks, caught a bad rate on the whip, with bad breaks, I'm caught up in these bad ways, having a bad day, so now the game's ugly, and my pain's ugly, and my chain's ugly, things became ugly, cause my ugly rubby got a stain, and it's musty, waking up looking crusty, and Miss Thing, who's ugly, is saying to me, don't touch me, I went from pretty willy to pretty silly, but I'm still pretty gully, so you know things, I still get pretty ugly, and this is for the hoods, the crabs, the junkies, yeah. We're showing you the good, yeah. The bad, the ugly.
We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. Big Dad, get your money, ain't no telling they gon' love me. We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. When your money get funny and them days ain't sunny. We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. Niggas get pounds to hug me, know they really wanna slug me. We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. And this is for the hood, you got to love me. Come on in the I don't remember your name, but I remember the brain. Here go a pimp for the train, and come on in the shot town. When my niggas ride down the bus clowns, I look for some bus downs to bust down. Yeah, she ain't got a car, she on a bus now. But her gear is banging, she wanna us now. I wanna belly the bone, cause she was bad to the bone. She from a better home, she mad when she at home. So I give her my number to beep off, she wanted to take a week off. Bustin' scary movie nuts, I had to get the freak off. The new time cruise, took the Mulan rules on a too long cruise. She said, I ain't boning you with them too long shoes. And acted bougie in a great poupon mood. So I'ma act cheap in a coupon mood. She said, yeah, you don't love me. I told her it was good, it's too bad, it got ugly. We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. Big said, get your money, ain't no telling they gon' love me. We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. And this is for the hood, you got to love me.
Hey, yo, good morning, yeah. The Queens. The North Side is my scene. And when it comes down to it, I'ma ride for my team. See, it's a beautiful life, but these bills will make it ugly. And the beauty of life is when you're forced to make it ugly. Had a beautiful night till a storm that made it ugly. And a beautiful wife, now we divorcing and it's ugly. Now my mind state is ugly. My blind dates are ugly, and I'm ready to turn it up in these streets and make it ugly. Used to sit in Mr. Ugly's with these sisters that was ugly, and these bitches used to bump me to the point it made me ugly and say things that was ugly, then lead a ball abruptly. But I took it all back, cause God don't like ugly. Now I'm curbing my bad words and say there's a bad burn. I left it on bad terms with a chick with a bad perm. Okay, took a bad turn, the face caught a bad burn, and took the news bad when they said she had bad turns. The bad thing about it, the bitch is bad about it, but the pussy smelled bad, so I had to get about it. So now we got bad blood. My son is a bad blood. But it happens in the hood when you inherit that bad blood. And once you get bad, it be bad for good. And that's bad meaning bad, not bad meaning good. But I agree that it's good when you leave with the goods. It's all good in the hood. I call it good cause it's good. Now I'm having some good nights, living this good life. Got me a good girl, then I'ma make me a good wife. So I'm good to go, and I'm good where I go. Cause my man got good aim, and that's a good thing to know. And it came up for good, off of good behavior. Spitting that good game. The world's good with this paper. Cause this is for the hoods, the crabs, the junkies. We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly.
Hey, yo, we showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. Big said, get your money, ain't no telling they gon' love me. We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. When your money get funny and them days ain't sunny. We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. Niggas get pounds to hug me, know they really wanna slug me. We showing you the good, the bad, the ugly. And this is for the hood, you got to love me.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to another edition of Detroit Sports Rap. I am your host, Big C, along with my special.
What's up, big bro? How you feeling today, man? We sitting here enjoying this somewhat close to spring-like weather. You know what I'm saying? So having a good time in the city, in the D, working good. What's going on with you, bro? Seems like to me we're starting off with maybe possibly a technical difficulty, but we're going to keep this moving today. Ladies and gentlemen, You know what I'm saying? This is L Dog, my co-host. You know what I'm saying?
I
Big
got you, L. What are you talking about?
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Okay,
I was with you, baby.
I'm about to get on it now, man.
No, I was just saying, I'm a playoff hockey fan, and I know you're my aficionado on the hockey, but the Red Wings right now are up 1-0 in Game 3 versus the Lightning. We don't talk about them much, and you know, I'm gonna apologize because they're consistently in the playoffs, and when they need to be celebrated around here, there's been kind of a change of the guard of the team, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I used to know all these guys and knew them for 20 years. Now it's like a whole new crew out here. But they're at 1-0. Give us a little bit of insight on the hockey. I know you keep up with that a little bit.
Well, I mean, they're at 1-0, but the problem is they should be down 0-2. Actually, they look like they should be swept the way they've been playing lately, man. I have yet to see them be any aggressive on the puck. They're getting beat up all around on the ice. They can't clear the puck out their zone. And the thing is, it's just like they just look kind of old. Everything is, the goaltending is always a question mark when you're watching the Red Wings. The problem is, this question mark is ridiculous. We have Howard that's supposed to be the guy that's supposed to be our man, but now he's taking the backstage of some youth. And the problem I'm seeing now is after I can't remember the guy's name for nothing, but here's the problem. When he goes out there, he does a great game like Game 1, Game 2 gets pulled. Game 3, he makes up for it. Game 4, he'll be okay. Then Game 5, he might get pulled. Game 6, he might get pulled. So we have indecisiveness, you know what I'm saying, with the goaltending.
Well,
the thing is, I can't blame it on the goaltending because, like I said before, we have yet to play at least two periods of dominant hockey against this team. We're getting outskated, out-finessed, out-everything right now.
I was going to say, I watched Game 1, and Game 1, there was some effort there. There was some toughness, but you said they've been lacking consistently. I saw that. But I also saw defensive lapses where the Lightning were allowed to have a lot of shots. So, I think his name is Mrazek.
Mrazek. Something crazy.
The second goal, he had a good game. Second game, there were defensive lapses in front of him, and he had a solid game, but he gave up some goals. But to his credit, man, he's been under attack this whole series, man. They got to be averaging like 30 shots on goal right now.
Easy.
You're
absolutely right. It's ridiculous the way they're doing it, though. They are
shooting
like 64-15. It's ridiculous.
We don't talk about them a lot. Let me ask you this. Do they have give me a percentage of chance they advance?
Well, just because Tampa Bay is a team that one time they might be good, the next minute they might not be, I'm giving them a 35% chance. I mean, because normally when you get outplayed like that, you know what I'm saying, you have a 0% chance, I mean a 10% chance. But just because it's Tampa Bay, I give them a 35% chance.
So they weren't the favorite coming into this at all?
Not at all.
Okay. All right, because what I've seen of them so far, I've just been watching them tonight. I saw them the other night when they lost. I saw them a little bit of the win. I give them about a 40% chance. They got some young blood. These guys are probably, in my estimation, probably a lot of these guys are probably seeing their first major playoff time. Maybe they got some time last year. I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know hardly any of these guys, to tell you the truth. Besides Datsu and a couple other guys, I don't know anybody out there. So they've completely changed guard. But they still seem to be a young team. They get some hot goals in and they get a couple goals. We'll see how it goes, man. But I didn't really want to talk about them too much. They're still 1-0. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about our Tigers. Currently 11-2, best record in baseball. I saw something that the last time they started 9-1 were years.
84.
Going to the Super Bowl, World Series.
And winning it. That's 84, the one they wanted.
I'm going to tell you, it's still very early. And like I always say, my precursor is a 40-game mark, the first quarter pole. But what I'm seeing so far from Simon and Green, they look solid on the back end of that rotation. If this can continue, we may have a shot. I like the completeness of the team is what I've been saying the last couple of weeks. But I got a couple questions for you. Well, Joe Nathan is healthy, and he had a solid, I guess, rehab stint appearance. I think he's going to be back. What role does he fall into? Do you put him back at the closer after seeing what Soria has been doing so far?
I can help you right now. No, he won't be the closer. What he'll be is the eighth inning or one of those guys that can chew up an inning or two and relieve help. He would not be the closer. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he might be solid. Yeah, that's good and all. But my man has earned the right to stay where he's at right now. He's closed, what, three games for us now? And he's earned the right, every right to be and stay exactly where he's at in the rotation. Now, our eighth inning relieving help guy, you know what I'm saying? We might be able to need some help and use him in that role. But until this other guy falters, if it ain't broke, don't
Jumba. Your boy Jumba's been playing that role. And they've been getting some solid outings, starters. They haven't had to use him that much.
Right, but the thing he's strong. He got him to pitch to a double play. Like I said before, Carl, it's early. And with it being early, the only problem with what I like, with the thing with it being early, like the way it is right now, you got to save these guys' arms for it's 160 games.
I'm saying the season. But I'm going to tell you what.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. At the same time, I don't see them saving their arms because I just saw Simon go, what, 7 1/3 strong innings. We saw Green, I think, went 8 innings the other day. But you guys got to remember, though, they're not in their 5-man rotation yet either. Not fully.
Right.
Even though we got Lopp staying out there now, making a start. But, currently, they're down 1-0 to the New York Yankees. But you said he would not be the closer. I agree with you. Soria has earned a spot right now. I maybe use him in the 8th inning, maybe in the 7th. Get a solid inning out of him. That's where I'm going with it. What about V-Mark? Do you keep him in the lineup knowing he's hurting a little bit? Or do you kind of pull up on him a little bit? Because I'm a little worried. He's doing this thing with the bat.
Yeah, yesterday, you know what I'm saying, as a DH, you know what I'm saying, you don't have much to worry about with him. You know what I'm saying? He's a man that gets it done.
That knee is bothering him.
Yeah, because he was limping yesterday. I saw that. He was definitely limping yesterday. So my thing is, what you need to do with that is make a conscious decision on watching him. Like I say, you give him a rotation. You know what I'm saying? Start when we had like a DH, you know, so that might be somebody that, you know, could be a utility player that we have because we got a lot of depth now in the outfield. We have, well, not a lot of depth, but we have some depth in the outfield now that we can rotate and platoon. You know, what you might want to do is rest him for about a week, see if that knee, because he says it's just bothering him. It's not hampering him, so I'm hoping that, we don't kind of rely on that bat too much to tweak it and mess it up. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is just keep a watchful eye on him for now. We're not going to sit there and snatch him out, but probably next week, if he's still limping and gimping on it, take him out of there. We need him for the long haul.
Well, and just for the record, folks, I want to tell you it took Elliot exactly 12 minutes to say the word depth.
Oh, of course.
But we always love to hear. But you know, I agree with you, man. I'm gonna take it easy with him because right now we're in good position early. We have been pretty offensively solid. There's been a couple of close games, and I don't mind having those as long as we win them. But I'm definitely trying to rest them, man, because we got a long haul to go, a long, long haul, man. And actually, man, I may be sitting them every other day. If I can. You know what I'm saying? Just to help him get better, we can get healed up. And when you see him legging out, you know, scoring those runs yesterday. It's like, ooh, I hope he don't tear, pull, strain.
Because the thing is, he now what's going to happen is his body's going to compensate for when he's limping because he's gimpy now. So, he might be straight now, but he might be compensating, and then he might mess something else up, another part of his body, just because of that.
No doubt. So I'm a little worried with him, but as far as tires are going, everything's looking smooth. Verlander's been slowed down. His return stint, return start didn't go quite as smooth as they liked. He said he felt some soreness in his shoulder. He's going to slow it down a little bit, man. I'm starting to get a little antsy, a little bit worried. I don't know. That's my guy, 100 grand. You know, throwing that ball 100 miles an hour though for so long, starting to take his toll. We had the core injury last year. He's still a relatively young guy. I'm a little antsy right now.
Right.
But
as we know, with that Verlander thing, I told you, I feel about him, man. When he comes back, he still is going to be our fifth guy in rotation, maybe fourth. He has to earn his right to get back up in there so we can trust him and see if, you know, if he's the Verlander of old. Like I said, nothing against the guy. Now, I'm not knocking him off because I love the guy, but he's been declining, I mean, noticeably declining the last few years. Now, I'm not going to blame it on HGH. I'm not going to blame it on nothing. I'm just saying he's been noticeably falling off the map in the last few years and getting a lot of injuries, you know, saying that, you know, I think that goes with age. I'm hoping it was nothing else.
Wait a minute, man. That is one of the strongest, non-admitted or none. I'm taking a shot at him or none. I'm a huge accusation I have ever heard right there. Are you saying?
I didn't make it.
What you mean I didn't make it? No, you sound like Huggy Bear. You sound like Huggy Bear, baby.
All I'm saying.
Where did AGH even come from in the conversation? We didn't say nothing about A-Rod. We didn't say nothing about no testing. We didn't say nothing. You just said, I'm just not saying AGH. But I'm saying, wait a minute. I think it's injury-wise, man. I think it's injury-related. And, man, you know,
okay.
Throw that ball, man, repeatedly. That's my thing, man. That's going to break you down, man. What people don't remember, and hell, I ain't going to lie to you, I don't really remember it. People told me about it. But Frank Tanana, Tigers old pitcher, he used to be a thrower, a hard-throwing, fastball, slider, hard stuff type of guy. I don't know if he had an injury. I don't know if he lost his stuff. I don't know if it was a combination of it. But he ended up having to refine his game to a crazy assortment of curveballs and breaking pitches that he could throw at all types of speed up to about 90, topping out. Probably about 87, topping out. But because he can throw them at different speeds, they would do different things. They can look faster. You know, sometimes he throw junk up there 75 and he hits you with an 88. You think it's coming to 100. You don't know where it's
right.
Going to go. He was an offensive pitcher. But he found ways to do it without having that fireball. I believe if Verlander can get injury-free, that he's going to have to find a way to do it. Maybe not throwing. Hopefully he still got. I mean, if he can still get it up to 94, 95 and locate, that's still very good. No problem. If you get up to 94, 95 and develop a couple breaking pitches that, you know, you don't have to throw with such velocity and torque, even though you kind of want to give it the same, you know, arm slot or arm roost every time, you know, you just can't continue to do that for 20 years. That's why Roger Clemens and them, man, and Nolan Ryan, those guys were – real deal legends because they were out here like that. So,
okay.
you know, Verlander, man, I'm still giving respect to Simon and Green. I mean, they're doing their thing right now, but they haven't really been that deal like that. I think if Verlander comes back healthy, and even 80% of himself, he's still a viable, very, very valuable and viable starter for us. Let's keep it moving, man. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk briefly about a couple things happening locally here with our college teams. UofM basketball got addition by no subtraction. Harris LeVert announced that he's coming back for another year at Michigan. And I'm hoping for a real return to basketball prominence because I think Michigan State, like I said last week, with their top 10 recruiting class, top 5 recruiting class, is going to have a dangerous team talent-wise and depth-wise. I predict them to be a Final Four team, possibly a championship team. Michigan's going to be a tough team as well. They're going to return 9 guys from the rotation this year, 2 guys who redshirted this year, and 1 freshman. So they're going to be extremely deep, very talented, have a lot of experience. They're going to be a tough team. Let's talk a little bit about keep it moving. Talk a little bit about the Michigan State Spartans, who do have their spring game this Saturday at up in Michigan State, East Lansing. They had another scrimmage, Elliot, the second scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
Defense again dominated the offense. Connor Cook was a little bit better in this game. Still threw 2 interceptions, but he did have a touchdown to Jamal Lyles. So they did some things, you know, offensively. Defense still looks, you know, tough. How do you feel about them right now, and what are you looking forward to kind of, you know, looking at in the spring game?
Well, like I said, I want to see that they have all the starters solidify their role. In other words, there's a few positions that's up for grabs right now. My thing is, in the spring game, I want to see, you know, they're returning several starters on defense. And, what was it, 8-7 on defense, 7 on offense. So my thing is, to fill those other voids that the hole is open, I want them to, you know, solidify that role. I want to see them solidify that role, especially at running back position. You know, that's what Michigan State is known for. You know what I'm saying? They you know, dinky-dunky, then they have a running game that just knocks you out in the fourth quarter. Productivity, I'm hoping nobody gets hurt in the spring game as well. I want to see what the number 2s is doing, number 3s is doing. We want to make sure we have that football factory like a la Ohio State, Alabama, Oregon, those big those conference teams. We want to make sure that, you know, we're seeing that same type of, you know, productivity in the second and third strings as well. So that's what I'm hoping to see, you know, see out through the game. You know, I already know the defense is going to dominate because it always does that. Defense always starts off dominating the offense. Or it could just mean that the defense is going to be one hell of a defense this year, that you might have a top 5, top 3 defense again. So that would be good as well.
I'm going to tell you, man, people always talk that talk, man. But like I said, I still think the players make plays. And I'm going to go with the latter. I think Michigan State's going to have a heck of a defense. They're doing a great job recruiting. They do a great job once you get them on campus of coaching them up. So they got great depth, as we like to say. And they have a lot of experienced guys coming back. You know, they lost Trey Wang. They lost Marcus Rush. There was a lineman that they lost. But I think maybe 3, maybe 4 starters off the defense, but the guy who was stepping in for him has so much experience. When you look at a Lawrence Thomas, who played defensive tackle, linebacker, and defensive end, this year for him. He got a lot of snaps last year. Malik McDowell from Southfield played a lot last year as a freshman. He's looking at one of the defensive tackle positions, and he also can play end as well. So they got versatile guys. They got NFL-quality guys out there. And don't sleep on the coach. And I know you lost Narduzzi, but D'Antonio, defense was his thing. Harlan Barnett has been there a long time, knows the system. And he was All-Big Ten performer. And, you know, you got to look in the NFL. So
Who knows what he's going? I mean, with D'Antonio there, I'm saying like this. Defense is not going to take a step back like everybody thought it would. Like you said before, he's a defense-oriented person. The defense did flow through him. It is his scheme. You know what I'm saying? All we're doing is, you know, is being solidified with the other coach there. But at the same time, though, you know what I'm saying? I think now he has to play more of an assertive role in his defense to make sure it stays dominant, aggressive. The formula is there. I mean, we all know how Michigan State plays you. They like to have two covers or one corner that can cover one side of the field, basically. But it's not truly a shutdown corner, but a corner that can do a lot of press coverages. They like to press the outside, and then that way it gives you the ability to blitz more, to bring more than what you can block, and to do a lot of zone schemes and everything else as well. So the schemes is there. We already know it. We just want to make sure these new players that's coming into the fold. Like I said, yeah, we got seven players that's returning. So we got four new starters on both sides of the ball. So we want to make sure that, you know, that they know the system. And these guys have been here for as well. So we want to make sure that, you know, that everything is in, you know, that, the, you know, that they can take the pressure now of, you know, that being that new shutdown corner. Because the last two corners from Michigan State have been number one picks. You know what I'm saying? People didn't notice that. The last two corners that they had, they've been beasts. You know what I'm saying? They asserted themselves to be dominant corners. So we need to make sure they keep that going.
I'm going to tell you, I think that the defense, like I said, is going to be strong. I think they're going to be strong up front and definitely at the linebacker spot. They have a lot of depth. They have guys who can run in coverage. They also have guys who can blitz and make plays. So I see them doing some great things on the defensive side of the ball. The positions I want to watch in the spring game is cornerback, because they mm-hmm. are replacing Darquez Denard. They got a couple guys coming back who played a little bit, but none of them have really, you know, been regular starters. So that's a key position. Running back and wide receivers. I think the reason that we're seeing Cook throw so many interceptions against the defense in these scrimmages is a couple of things. Number one, he's playing against an experienced defense. Number two, he's playing with a group of possibly inexperienced wide receivers. Burbis has been there for a while, has gotten some snaps. So McGuire King has been kind of out a little bit with some, you know, legal issues. After that, you have A.J. Truth, again, a guy who's been around but hasn't really had all the snaps and the reps that some of the other guys have, you know. So he's getting used to this group of receivers. He's getting used to this new group of running backs. You know, what they can do. And, you know, hopefully they're viable and blitz pickup. And basically the wide receivers have been the tight ends have been his main receiver. So I'm eager to see, you know, what he does with a full complement of receivers in a game-like situation in the swing game. But I want to see what his playmakers are around him, if they can be touchdown makers, and if they have guys who can stop touchdowns, because that's going to be the key, stopping Ohio State and anybody on Oregon, anybody else on their schedule. Can they match up?
Well, yeah, think about it. That's why they did all the recruiting they did as far as bringing in new safeties and corners. I mean, they went deep in bringing in faster corners this year. I mean, faster safeties, I'm sorry, to help take the place. And, you know, and they went deep in recruiting as far as athletes, defensive side of ball, corners, you know what I'm saying, safeties, because they want to make sure that when they do go one-on-one, something they love to do, last year what Oregon did and Ohio State, the only teams they lost, what they did is that they would blow the top off the coverage by just having one guy that can streak the hell up the field, and with no help over the top, you were getting blown by. When they put my man in the receiver, when they put the receiver in there that played for him, that helped stop them in the bowl game. You know what I'm saying? They brought the receiver in, put his ass out there, safety or nickelback, and he was able to help cover deep passes. You know what I'm saying? That ended that, you know what I'm saying, go on top. That forces them to go and check down and then or go to the run game. And as you can see,
he's on the league. He's on the league. Who they going to put out there?
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's why they did such a big job in recruiting this year. They picked up a few people, well, last year to play this type of position out of them.
I'm about to say, you keep saying these recruits this year. I maybe see one or two guys playing this year. Them boys loaded.
Like I said, Michigan State knew what their weakness were, and they went ahead and they fixed it. They went ahead, you know, and said, okay, we need some speed on defense. We need a couple of transfers. They did that.
Them boys, you can't expect them boys to come in and make no true impact like that. When is the last freshman came in and made an impact like that for Michigan State?
I mean, but the thing is, Carl, this is a whole new year. This is a whole new everything now. Michigan State has to adapt to what Ohio State is doing, it's no longer just trying to beat Michigan and trying to beat Wisconsin. You know, saying they got to beat Ohio State and they got to stay on pace with Alabama, Oregon, because they played them this year, Baylor or TCU. They got to stay to be elite. They got to stay on pace with those programs. So I think what they did this year, they saw what they were doing was successful and kind of adapted and took a little bit from that system and said, okay, let's integrate this in our own program so we can be there. You know, so don't be fooled if one of them fast-ass guy freshmen come out there and do their thing. They'd be like, you know what, throw his ass out there into the wolves. You know, so we'll hide him in some of these school games.
If somebody is extremely talented, like I'm going to tell you right now, I think the running back is going to play. Was it Larry Scott, whatever Scott from Ohio?
Okay.
I think he's going to play. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably going to be.
He was talented. He was very highly recruited, though.
Exactly. And I think maybe a couple of them, other guys may play, but Michigan State really hasn't had that standout freshman. I mean, not to say that they can't have it. Malik McDowell played last year as a freshman. Lawrence Thomas played as a freshman, but I don't expect them to have, especially on a team that is so deep. Now, if they have a guy out there who can step in there and step it up to an NFL level right now, we shall see. But I think that they have enough confidence in the guys that they already have in the system that the recruits this year, I don't think they recruit the guys to play this year. I mean, they have been recruiting so well and keeping guys in school so long. I mean, it's that's what we're talking about, the defensive front. Even though they lost Marcus Rush and a couple of those linebackers, they still strength. They got guys who've been playing for 3 or 4 years. The guy from Southeastern, Ed Davis, is still up there. A couple of guys that, you know, they've been recruiting the last couple of years. So they have, for a freshman to me to play, he has to be a truly special individual up there because they got NFL guys everywhere.
Okay. Hold on, I'm looking at the stats right now. I'm bringing up the whole roster. Now, I'm just bringing up their roster right now. I'm looking at something. The running back who was talking about from
real quick to your point for
the
you
running back
that,
from
I do think a corner can play because I think they are improving there. But go ahead though.
I'm looking at this. I was just looking at a few running backs because I was trying to see the one you was talking about. Gerald Owens is the one we were talking about that said he's going to end up playing defensive tackle, right? That's the boy that's 6'2", 263 pounds from New Jersey. And then you got another running back that they were so highly recruited that they loved the hell out of, Madre London, 6'1", 213 from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
I want to see them. Him and Holmes have been the ones getting the majority of the carries.
Right.
I want to really see them this Saturday. But from what I've seen, this young freshman, Larry Scott or whoever, who's coming up, he look like a kid, man.
From Ohio. Yeah. He's getting
Let's
a lot of attention
moving,
and love right now.
Go ahead.
I said he's getting a lot of attention and love right now. I think that's one of those freshmen. It looks like it might be London and Scott might be a 1-2 punch in there. I'm thinking that might be, we might carry the load for Michigan State this year. Because Nick Hill, he's been a disappointment to me.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, and I may be a little mad right here, but I try to keep it objective. I try to look at the game, man, and Larry Scott looks like Le'Veon Bell to me, man, or Javon Reed.
Damn, okay.
So.
Oh, so you got a lot of faith in Scott. Okay.
I'm thinking it would not surprise me at all to say he's going to end up being a starter. But I haven't even seen these other guys. But because I haven't seen them, I don't
right.
even believe that they brought another running back in this year. I think it was just him. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know, but I think it was. Like, the fact that ain't nobody even else come, I don't know if they were scared to come. I don't know if they didn't know nobody ain't. I don't know. But this guy looked legit. And these other guys I have not seen play, really. So, you know, and I can look to, you know, I'm sure we can look up the YouTubes. They'll look all right. But as of right now, I would not be surprised if that boy definitely plays. And it wouldn't surprise me if he starts. Not just being objective looking at him. He looked like a beast. With hands, with body,
okay.
Speed, with vision. I mean, he looked tough. He looked tough. If he does it right, he should be at least at the combine.
Damn. Just got in. Okay.
But let's keep it moving though. Let's talk about everybody's hitting me up now, like we don't know we got the show. But let's talk about the NBA playoffs, man. It's been an exciting couple of days so far. Unfortunately, our team is not involved.
Go ahead. I'm gonna give you kudos in this real quick. The NBA. I'm gonna give you kudos. First time in a long time. You did say, don't worry about the Bulls. Yeah, well, Rose being out, getting him rest, everybody get some continuity. When he comes back, it's going to be the Chicago Bulls show. And you know what? I got to give it to you. After watching him play the other day, it does look like this is what could be the Chicago the Chicago Bulls show right now.
Well,
they are balling.
I like him. You know, I liked him for a long time. But I'm going to tell you, when my boy out here, my boy done messed up his knee. You was just the first story out of my mouth. My boy done messed up his knee. Mirotic, who I think is either the rookie of the year or the backup or the second place guy, but quad strain, knee sprain, unlikely to play in game three, so I don't know. That's their problem, man. I don't know if they got these soft tissue injuries, man. I'm like, man, how did you do that? But they won. I still think we're going to come out of them in Cleveland in the East. But can they sustain another injury? And I'm looking at Derrick Rose. He played 38 minutes. He said he didn't feel any soreness or anything, so that's a good sign. But I don't know if I'm ready for him to get all that type of run. So,
well, it looks like they're going to need him to do it.
I don't know. I don't know. But with that said, I'm going to tell you who is looking good. Who is looking good is LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let me tell you. I know you don't like LeBron. I'm not his biggest fan, but I give him much respect for what he does. But this is one of the better teams that has been around him. I mean, I might like this team versus Miami with a Kevin Love, with a Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
And then you got the guys coming up
in Miami was aging.
Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith. Add Tim Mozgov to the front court. Man, this Cleveland team has quietly, I ain't going to say quietly, but to me, kind of on the low, trades with Denver, trades with the Knicks, teams that I told you, trying to, you know, they had talent, but they're giving it all away.
Right.
They out here. They done made their team kind of tough, man. I'm telling you, Cleveland looks very tough. I'm ready to beat a team from the West. let me ask you about this. Speaking of the team from the West, your team that you through thick and thin. You said they champions to the end, but San Antonio, how do you feel about that pick right now? Are they in trouble out there in the West with the Clippers?
Yeah, they definitely are right now. They're probably 10:30 tonight. They got their hands full. I mean, the matchup is a mug. I was hoping they would get a matchup with the Clippers or Golden State Warriors, but I'm going to tell you like this. It looks like this, the champs might be showing they long in the tooth. You know what I'm saying? Clippers is just they're just running the court. They're doing everything right now. You know, I like the Clippers. You know what I'm saying? I also like, Houston looking a lot better too, though. The West is looking very competitive, my friend. So, I think that might have been a bad pick by me, but hey, they're champs. Until they get dethroned, I can't just, I'm not going to turn my back on them. I'll still stick by them. But they got to show me some more improvement. Show me something. Because right now, they're getting their ass whooped.
Hey, don't nobody say it like you said that young L. They getting their ass kicked off. Well, I'm going to tell you, man.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need no longer than two. But I'm going to tell you what big problem. This guy gets overlooked all the time. But Big Tiago Splitter, man, he hurt. He only played like 10 minutes in that first game. He's not himself. They don't have nobody for Big Blake and DeAndre Jordan. They tried to play Hackershack on Jordan. He's not going to have his free throw.
That didn't work.
It didn't really work out the way it was supposed to. And then, next thing you know, CP3, who was so hungry for a championship. I mean, this guy really, to me, people call him dirty. People call him a lot of things, but he's a great player. He reminds me, he's the closest thing I've seen since you may disagree with him, but he's the closest thing I've seen to Isaiah Thomas that I've seen a long time. He's a 6-foot point guard who's tough as nails, can shoot it, can get to the hole, can finish, get everybody else involved, run the team. Has been accused of all type of cheap shots and all type of things, kind of reminiscent of Isaiah. He played an excellent game. Excellent game. And then Blake Griffin just started posterizing folks. It's going to be tough. I'm not saying they can't beat him, but it's just going to be definitely tough. I think from losing that last game to the Pelicans, and we're going to talk about Anthony Davis in a minute, losing that last game to the Pelicans and dropping from the second seed in the West to the sixth seed in the West really, really hurt them. Because that means pretty much that they're not going to have home court in any of the series that they play. So,
right.
It's tough, man. I think they got their hands full. I think the Clippers are a viable contender. I think that when you look at the West, they have a bunch of teams out there that really, really could possibly win. Like you said, Houston looks much improved. Golden State looks much improved. Who else is out there doing their thing?
Well, that's basically the three that stand out to me.
Golden State,
Houston, and the Clippers that stand out to me so much right now. It's kind of, that's a three-headed monster. And then, even though the Pelicans is playing hard, but I think the coaches is messing them up. You know what I'm saying? A chance to actually win one. But outside of that, Dallas, they're going to play hard. But, Houston just has that it, right now. They showing that Houston's a team that has been overlooked and kind of like mocked for so long. Because, like I said, you don't think they're going to have that type of continuity. Because old boy been out for most of the season. So when he comes back, they're looking like, okay, well, we straight. Don't worry about it. But it's not even like that. They are actually balling.
Have you had a chance to watch this Milwaukee and Chicago series at all? These guys are kind of tussling.
I watched it yesterday.
And everything yesterday.
Yeah,
I mean,
I watched it yesterday. They went to the floor. No, that's what you want your playoff basketball to be like, man. Everybody too damn buddy-buddy, with a high, hold hands and, slap each other on the ass and be cool. No, man, it's the playoffs, dog. I like it better like that. I like the competition, the blood flowing, the in-your-face, screw you type attitude, I want and appreciate that more than anything else. And I believe that's how it should be. They, you know, because all this, we friends. Oh, if I don't win, I'm going to jump on your team next year. That shit got to end, man. That's really got to end.
Okay. Okay. Now, Warriors and Pelicans, man. Warriors look solid in this game so far. I mean, in this series so far. Game one, they were up by like 18 or 15 in the first half, or going into the fourth quarter.
They got bored.
The Pelicans made a valiant comeback. Game two was a little bit closer, a little tougher, but they held on to, you know, eke it out 2-0. What do you think about, or have you had a chance to look at what this guy Anthony Davis has done this whole season and in this series so far? Have you had a chance to see what this kid has been doing?
It's such a late time. I haven't got a chance to look at him.
Well, game two, he had 22 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Okay. And this guy has shown, like, he can do everything. He, you know, got out of Kentucky. He's 6'11", 7 feet tall. He can dribble like a guard. Shoot like a small forward or handle. I would say handle like a guard, like a shoot like a shooting guard, but can still post guys up and be a force in the middle. I mean, this guy here, man, is to me the future of the NBA. I think in a couple of years he's going to be the best player in the NBA, man. Real talk. Like, I know LeBron is going to be up there, but he's getting a little bit older. This kid is like 20 years old, can do it all, 6'11", playing center. First game, I mean, he just went totally bananas. What'd he do? Davis had 35 points, 20 in the fourth quarter. So he's
okay,
been going
okay
off, man, for those boys. Just for an update, Cleveland and Boston. Boston surprisingly giving them a real tough game. Cleveland's up 51-50 right now at halftime in that game. Toronto is up 9-2 over in their series. Right now the Wizards are up, I think, 1-0 in that series. Dallas and Houston have to have a game too tonight. Houston's up 1-0 in that series. Let's keep it moving, man. Let's keep it moving. One last thing. Now this whole situation, I don't know if you've been abreast of it, with Pat Riley, man, taking a shot at LeBron, man. What's your thinking on that, man?
What a hater, man.
Flat out, huh?
Call me a hater. Just flat out, man. I don't need to discuss it or go into depth about it. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not even a strong supporter of LeBron and nothing like that, but then, man, I don't like Pat Riley either, though. You know what I'm saying? The oil slick, man. I don't like how he did Coach Stan Van Gundy when he had a chance to win the title. He was in Miami. He came in there, man, and just totally played them. I mean, totally played him, got him up out of there so he can coach them in a championship game because he wanted to get another, you know what I'm saying, title behind him. You know what I'm saying? I got no respect for him. You know what I'm saying? So he's a hater. His organization's a hater. Everything about him is a hater. Anything he do is a hater. And I don't respect the hater. So, you know, skip Pat Riley.
Yeah. Can't say no better myself, man. You know, Pat Riley, same guy who took the team right there from Van Gundy. You know what I'm saying? You know, when everything was going good, that was supposed to be his boy. You know, he's an opportunist just like LeBron is. You know, so you say I don't see the problem. I think he just needs to let it go, man. You know, I don't know what LeBron be doing to these owners or personnel people or GMs, man. I be just throwing them off, man. Throwing them, you know what I'm saying, totally off, man. But Riley said, man, there's no more smiling faces with hidden agendas, man, in the facility, in the organization. So he can just, you know, build it how he want to build it, man. Young LeBron, man, still creating controversy no matter what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes, sir. Let's keep it moving, man. Let's talk about some NFL things, some news and notes from the NFL. We got about 40 minutes in the show, so we got good time. Your boy AP, you love to talk about AP, man. AP is officially reinstated. You've made it, put it on record that you think that Dallas and or Cleveland is going to get him.
Dallas wants him real bad. I told everybody he was going to get traded. He's going to get traded, okay? Dallas will give up. Jerry Jones will give up his left nut and right eye to get somebody in to help him win a damn Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? That's what that man is about. It's about championship. He had a taste of a playoff win, even though he cheated and had the ref drunk as hell with him, you know what I'm saying, you know, to pay him off. But he got a taste of that playoff win, the success. And not to mention that it made revenues go up the roof for him. You bring somebody like AP, that jersey's going to sell off the racks. You won't get no backlash from anybody from Dallas on some him spanking his kid. He'd be welcome with open arms, and he almost be praised like how Emmitt Smith was. You know, so he'll get that type of praise at Dallas because they know they're getting one hell of a running back that's proven. I don't give a damn what you say about him in age because he came back from a break or a tear or whatever and rushed for more yards than he ever did the next year. And the man is how can I describe this guy? AP is like, I'm not calling him Bo Jackson, but he's respected and feared like Bo Jackson. He can play like how Earl Campbell played hurt all the time. You know what I'm saying? So his body is like that. So, you know, he's a fierce competitor. Always got something to prove. And him being out for a year, he's got a lot to prove. And he can't wait to open up and prove it to everybody else out of the NFL, especially everybody that talked about him. So, yeah, I believe he will be out of Minnesota. He won't be there next year coming up. I'm sure Dallas will do whatever it takes to get him. Because they franchise tag Dez Bryant to shut him up. And you know what? Dez Bryant is really getting my damn nerves, dog. I'll tell you the truth, man. That nigga, man, damn. Anyway, they franchise tag him. He's quiet.
Hey, man, we're going to need you to keep it somewhat together over there, man. You know, we're trying to get into the lab. We're not just our boys, man. Go ahead, man.
There's Brian, man. He's the type of cat. You know, man, he's a prima donna. He's a true.
Why are you mad at Dez Bryant?
I mean, prime example. Because he's that, like I said, he's that, how Terrell Owens was. You know, like a Keyshawn Johnson.
What's the problem with him, man?
His mouth is not backing up his game. His game is not backing up his mouth. You know what I'm saying? He talks too much. Talks he's better than Calvin Johnson. He's better than this. He's better than that. And it's getting shut down. In the playoff game, he didn't even have 100 yards receiving. The game before, he didn't have 100 yards receiving. So my thing is, man, look, shut up and play ball. Because I'm not going to sign. I'm not going to do this, man. Just play.
You know what, dog? You're going to have to take off your cleats, man. Hang them up. Become a fan. And look at things from a player's perspective, dog. Because you just make up in your mind that I'm just supposed to play and do whatever, and that's that. It's a business aspect to this game, man. He wants to be paid, man. Nothing wrong with that. He's going out there. He's done what these boys have asked him to. He's had people trailing him. He hasn't drunk. He lived under a curfew as a grown man with millions of dollars. He's done what they've asked him to. He's going out there and performed. Now you don't want to pay me. You want to limit me. You know, and the money that I made, yeah, I can sign this tender for $12 million, but I can also go out here and blow out my knee. You know what I'm saying?
But you still get $12 million, right?
No. Yeah, I still have $12 million, but if you give me a long-term contract, I know I'm getting $30 or $40 million guaranteed. See, that's the thing, man. That's the thing. Guaranteed, man. So, yeah, I'm on trip. Because this is, like I said, football is a game where, man, it's a dirty game, man, and you got to get it while you can. You don't know when your payday is going to end, man. And they're not honoring contracts, so why the hell should you be just honoring contracts? They signed you to 4 years, cut you in two, talking about you underperformed, so they cut you. Or we want you underperform, so we want to renegotiate. We want you to restructure, okay? But listen, I bought like I should be making $5 million, but you're only paying me $1.5 million. What's up? You, to me, you have a problem with that because you always saying somebody needs to shut up and get to camp and they can be replaced and all that. Come on, man.
Well,
and Tony Warner,
what you done for me lately, Lee?
It's what Dez has done for 4 or 5 years. Dez has been in the league at least the last 3 years. Been in the league four. I mean, so really, what are we talking about? But on another note, Antonio Brown, he's holding out of camp. He won a new contract. Should he just shut up and play through, or?
What's his contract like?
I don't know. He like the 13th highest wide receiver, paid highest wide receiver.
So you telling me every wide receiver that goes out and have a great year, they should just go ahead and be like, okay, restructure my contract after every year?
No.
Somebody does something semi-good.
Oh.
Because you said the same thing about the safety for the Lions. He got pulled 4 games, maybe 5. But because he made a Pro Bowl alternate, not really a Pro Bowl. You saying that we should pay the man. So every time somebody does something good, pay him.
First of all, let's get my shit together. I never said they should pay him. First of all, I never said
okay.
that. But I don't have a problem. Hold on a second, little papa. I don't have a problem if he sits out a voluntary workout. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
He's mad because he don't have his money. It's a voluntary workout. He's not getting paid for being there. He's not required to be there. I'm upset about my contract. I can work. I can live weights on my own. I ain't got to come
okay.
there.
And that's what all these guys are doing.
If they choose to hold out, that's their business, though. That's their business. And we as fans, you know, yeah, we can have an opinion because we want the team to be good, but sometimes you got to let people handle their business. And then in the head of both case, you know what? I do want to get paid more because you did get me out of bargain deal, and I did grossly outperform. You keep saying he got pulled 4 games. You only can remember one, and that's the playoff game. You know what I'm saying? You don't mean no other games he got pulled in. You just know he got pulled in games. But the numbers he put up in the plays that he made when he was in the game are irreplaceable to me. I don't know if I want to say that nigga was a Pro Bowl alternate. That nigga was playing on a very high level. I'm sorry, excuse me. That guy was playing on a very high level. So, he made me, hey, if I'm being compensated, and the thing is, he came from Baltimore where he played at a high level. Now, has he been a baller all his career? No. But his last couple years, he has played on contracts under his value for the production that he's put in, and he's 30 years old. So he like, listen, I only have one or two paydays left, and they're not going to be for a bunch of money, but you can give me $1 million. You know what I'm saying? Or you can give me $500,000 more and give me a $500,000, you know, in incentives. So if I do it again, I can get some bread. You know what I'm saying? It's all type of good. And that's just me. I would do that as a GM for a player like him because I understand his value. I don't believe that, yeah, I can just go get a guy off the street to replace him. Like we kind of always say, well, you know, if he can get replaced and he can do this. Well, again, this regime has not done a great job of picking, replacing, adding, building, nothing. So I don't understand why y'all just want to continuously give them opportunities to try. When you got people here who can play. Yeah, I mean, you know, it just kills me. Like, oh, they're sitting out this year. So what? They'll be here when it's time to make the money. Unless they feel like they're really being wrong, then they'll hold out. But even then, they won't come back and play. They won't come back and play. They won't have a chance.
So
I'm not tripping if they miss some OTAs. I'm not tripping on that.
You know what? Never mind. Because, like I said, you know, I mean, my thing is with OTAs, you do it more. It's not just the bonding and all that stuff. With the OTAs, I look at it because you just want to make sure that new schemes are being put in. No, it's not mandatory. It's not. But it is mandatory. We both know that.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not.
OTAs is not mandatory. No, they're not mandatory. They're mandatory because you put a lot of stuff, like different plays and everything. It's like a spring practice for the NFL. It gives you a chance to open up different things and input a lot of stuff in there that you couldn't do in the season because you only can have so many practices in the season. You're going to do so much working out in the season. So that's what it is. I mean, it has its benefits, man, or else they wouldn't have it.
Man, listen, No. You buying into the system, sounding crazy. Your boy Sue never went to OTA, and it didn't cost him at all. Made him $115
million. Well, he's at an OTA now.
No, I'm glad you said it. We gonna segue right into it. He there now, $115 million richer. I mean, you got a problem with it, or what?
I mean, only the way he there. I mean, they gave him $15,000 just to go to the OTAs, which is some bullshit. I'm gonna say it like this.
He didn't get no bonus to be there.
Yes, he is. It's in his contract. Give him $15,000 to be there. That's in Sue's contract right now.
Pull it up. Don't ever believe everything you hear. Pull it up. He there on his own, baby.
So in other words, he really would like screw Detroit because if he's there on his own, he really didn't give a damn about us because.
I don't know, maybe he just happened to be in training. I haven't read the story. I just know he was there. I'm not gonna just say screw Detroit. You know, maybe they told him flat out, listen here, if we're gonna give you all this money, you're gonna have to be a leader on the field and off, and you're gonna have to be at OTA. We don't know what was said. We can't just, you know, but it is voluntary. He's not getting no bonus for being there. I just want to know how Detroiters feel about that. I don't mind it myself. Miami.
I feel it's a smack in the face, man.
Miami anyway, so it could have been with hell. I'm in Miami anyway or whatever. It don't matter. Or hell, these motherfuckers gave me $100 million of this. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, man, that's a smack in the face, though, man. I mean, you know, that's cool. If that's your boy, that's cool. I feel what you're saying, but.
No, if it was anybody, and somebody gave them $100 million, I won't be mad if they do what they actually do. Now, sue my man, but I'm just saying that it could be you. It could be whoever. I'd be like, you know what? They gave him $100 million, $115 million.
Mm-hmm.
You want me where? Cool. There. Miami? Cool. There. No problem. You know what I'm saying? But I knew people were going to take it hard, and it's funny. But again, I don't know, but it may have something to do with that $100 million. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They going to be down there? Objectively speaking.
You say what?
You think they're going to be any good down there, objectively speaking?
Oh, Miami? Yeah, I think that. Miami made a lot of changes, man. Yeah, Miami's going to be a good team this year. I don't give a damn nobody say. Miami is a team that's going to compete for that in New England.
I'm not going to ask you the other team that's going to compete because you're going to tell me the whole division. But,
I know. You know, Buffalo Bills.
You finally might be right on them, man. You finally might be right. But let's keep it moving. We talked a little bit about it with the head of both, and we talked a little bit about it with Dez, but I want to talk a little bit more about it without getting crazy. Other guys who've been holding out is Eric Weddle, safety, and San Diego. Somebody else. Said that Antonio Brown, Orlando Scandrick in Dallas. I don't know about him, but yeah, man, you know, I think, you know, we kind of ran it in the ground, but like I said, these guys want to renegotiate, you know, or cut people after one bad year. Reggie Bush, I'm not an advocate for him or not. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm happy he's not here. Or how we shouldn't have called. I'm not saying any of that, but I am saying that he had one good year where he probably, and it probably to it, exceeded his contract value.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one year where he sucked. After that year he sucked, he was cut. That means no more checks for him. Just because his cap number counts our cap doesn't mean he gets no money. No more checks for him. So as a player, and I'm not saying after 1 year, but if say if you, like, you play 2 or 3 years. Now, Antonio Brown, he signed his deal in 2012.
At well, he wasn't shit.
No. Because look, you got to understand. First of all, he was a 6th-round pick out of Central Michigan. So he had to make the team. He was on his rookie deal. His rookie deal was only, I think, like 2 years or 3 years. At the end of his rookie deal, he kind of they gave him $42 million deal. I can't remember how much it was, you know, guaranteed. But when they gave him that, he started to blow up. So his next 2 years, from 2012, 13, 14, yeah, 3 years, he blew up. Now, in that time, you got people getting great, you know, people getting more money, bigger and bigger contracts. So now he's the 14th rated, 14th paid wide receiver. And in my opinion, he could be definitely top three, top five for sure in the game right now when he's being paid as the 14th best. Now, does he deserve some type of renegotiation or something? Let's talk about this.
Yeah, he do. Yeah, he do.
Yeah.
He definitely deserves some renegotiation. Yeah. He's doing it for him. Yeah, he definitely deserves it.
And he returned punch from time to time. So he really put it on the line.
He does everything for that team, the organization.
He's kicking everything. He's doing the whole.
Yep.
He's doing the whole nine. Let's keep it moving though. Tebow, man, your boy Tim Tebow.
Why you gonna say it's my boy?
Chip Kelly. What do you think his role is gonna be? I think we talked about it a little bit earlier privately. But what do you think about it? I know you never was a Tebow guy. What do you think about it? Is it just a scheme, a ploy? What's up?
Dumbass scheme. This is just dumb. I mean, you know what? Hopefully it worked out for him. Honestly, you know why I say that? Because I just want this Tim Tebow thing to do, to run his course. Hurry up, do what he got to do. If he's good, let's go. If not, get him up out of here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because I guess I've been working with some quarterback guru coach that makes everybody better. But at the same time, you know, that's Tim Tebow, man. He ain't the Eon Bion of all, you know, the athlete. I mean, of all quarterbacks, man. He ain't this guy that's supposed to be so out cold and this and this and this. They gave him too much praise and credit when he was here. I mean, when he was playing. He won a playoff game and then got cut. How the hell do you do that? You win a playoff game further than the Denver Broncos been a minute and then get cut. So, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be just a gimmicky quarterback or somebody has some insurance because they know how to run an offense. Or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I doubt very seriously if they flip-flop quarterbacks during the season because, you know, that's the way to get you out the door. You know what I'm saying? But still, you don't know.
I'm going to tell you, man, I don't know what's going on with this guy. I don't know what he's doing. Chip Kelly, that is, but it may be something.
That's your
mad
boy, though. Remember?
Who? My boy, Chip Kelly? Chip Kelly's my boy? No, he never said that.
Yeah, man.
I said
he was smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey. You said what about him?
I think he got a nice scheme that he runs. I was thinking that with NFL players, consistently at the positions, that he would be extremely tough. I mean, look at him the first year, though, what he did with, DeSean Jackson and some of those other guys. But I think he's hurting himself. You know what I'm saying? But in terms of this deal right here, this, I think there is potential here to work. I still think that he's somehow trying to get away up to Mariota. I think he's hoping Mariota maybe drops somewhere between that 8 to 12 range, which I don't think is going to happen. But if something happens, strange happens, and he drops, I think they try to move up for him. But with that being said, I think he's protecting himself, because what you have is a quarterback is Sam Bradford, who's coming off ACL surgery and has a known history of injury. So, I mean, he very well can be injured, especially running this type of offense. And then you have Mark Sanchez, who...
So why pick him up? You know, that's the thing.
I think there's a couple things at play. Like I just said, you got my man Bradford, who has mobility, but is more of a extend the play, maybe get something, make something out of the play, more than so being a read option quarterback. He's been fragile. I think he's going to get broke up running this type of offense. Then you have Mark Sanchez, who had some success last year with it, but did turn the ball over at critical times last year and basically cost them the playoffs. He's an excellent backup. With a guy like Tebow, who can run the football, he gives you a couple things. Number one, he gives you somebody who you can pull in the goal line situation and give you that run option, run-throw option guy in Tebow. And the throws don't have to be all that type of big throws or complex throws. They're going to come off the play action, so they're going to be quick. He gives you that guy because, really, again, Sanchez ain't that guy. Bradford ain't that guy. Secondly, I think he does give you insurance because Bradford probably is going down. I mean, let's be real. He's played 6 years, and I don't think he's completed. I think he's completed maybe one. So with that being said, he's going down. Then you have Sanchez who can, you know, get you down in there, and then you got a guy like Tebow, who can, you know, possibly, you know, be able to get you some touchdowns on the run game or be a guy who can work the goal line. But then you got the off-the-field stuff. You got the guy who's a team player. He is not a high-praise guy. He's just a team-oriented guy. You got, you know, God and all that type of stuff going on in the locker room, you know. Could be something behind the scenes where, you know, he wants to kind of settle his locker room down. Also, it could be Chip Kelly saying,
especially
hey,
those, all the dumbass moves he made.
You know, plus it could be Chip Kelly saying, hey, you know, I'm really trying to outsmart you guys, outdo you guys. I want to take a guy that you got, all you guys threw away and said it can't play, and give him a productive role in my offense. I think there may be some ego involved. I don't know if he's going to be successful, but I do think that there is potential for him to be a viable player for those guys. I only see it possibly
like
in
this.
A goal situation. Go ahead.
Anything outside him starting right now with him is Kelly's ass on the line. I'm going to tell you like this. This man has made
idiotic.
He's made some idiotic moves so far, man.
When he played offense in Denver, when they had to basically run this read crap, whatever, offense in Denver by a coordinator who didn't really have a history running that type of stuff, who pretty much is probably looking at film and putting stuff together on the fly, he had success. Not a great amount of success. He won games, but not a great amount of success. We're talking about 3 or 4 years later, and yes, he's got to get used to reading NFL defense again, but his body and his mind is definitely mature. He's been working with his guru, who's probably working with him on his release, probably working on him with his accuracy. Now he needs to go work with Chip. If Chip can create those matchups and those games where he creates space and opportunity for guys to be able to make catches, he doesn't have to be the most accurate guy in the world. We've seen so many holes in defenses. Yeah, you know, Nick Foles threw a great deep ball and they would hit him over the top, but a lot of times they were hitting guys in the seams. Guys are wide open due to multiple
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Does he start?
I think if Bradford is healthy,
No, he doesn't leave Bradford out because I think Bradford had what Chip Kelly is looking for, a guy who is accurate with the football, especially in the short and intermediate game, who can throw a decent deep ball and is not going to turn the ball over. I think his only problem last year was that they turned the ball over too much. Sanchez and Foles, you know, Foles wasn't the guy who had the four turnovers last year. He had more and then got injured, and then Sanchez turns it over. So you take those turnovers off that team, they're possibly a playoff team. They were 9-7, right? Or 10-6, 9-7?
Mm-hmm.
So,
9-7.
But I'm going to tell you, I don't think they're a better team this year than they were last year. I don't think that. But I think if Bradford stays
healthy.
And
that's a shame because everybody else around him has gotten better.
If Bradford gets hurt and Sanchez becomes the starter, I think if Bradford gets hurt and Sanchez becomes the starter, I think there's a package for Tebow.
And it's just a package only. It's not a design offense.
No. I'm thinking it's a package. The bottom line is this. They bring them in. They have four quarterbacks. They have Barkley they've been trying to trade. I don't know what's going to happen with him. If they truly are bringing him in some type of way, they're going to have to keep a third quarterback possibly. So if they have to keep a third quarterback active, he's got to play. They're not going to keep a guy active who's not has no, you know, value. So I do think they're going to, if he makes the team as a third quarterback,
Because he's still got to make the team first. Don't forget that.
Excuse me?
He's still got to make the team first, though. That's the thing. It's about forgetting about
it. If he makes the team, is what I just said, there'll be a package for him, probably on the goal line, short yardage, where he comes in and does something. What happens? If Bradford gets hurt, I think that package could be used more. The phone says that to him.
Didn't they change the rule? For like 2-point conversions or something like that? Aren't they changing the rules or something?
No rule change yet. Nope.
Okay.
Let's get into this. Let me look at this. What we got? We got 12 minutes left. Let's get into our O-line preview, man. This is a position that the Lions are definitely going to be looking into. To me, this is one of the most volatile offensive tackles. I shouldn't say volatile. This is just no one. There's no type of consensus on the order of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You got some guys who are projected as no more tackle, then you got some guys that say, hey, he can't play tackle. He's going to be a guard. You got some guys who are going to think they can play left tackle. There's some guys who say they're only going to be a right tackle or they're going to be a guard. So a lot of uncertainty in this class. And I'm going to tell you, man, first guy I want to talk about is Brandon Scherff out of Iowa. He's rated as a tackle/guard, best offensive lineman in the draft so far from pretty much what everyone says. But I have him number one. Number two is Andrews Pete at tackle from Stanford. He's one of the few guys who they can be a left tackle prospect. Number three is Lyle Collins from LSU, a guy I really think the Lions have a good shot at getting. He can be a right tackle prospect or a guard prospect. DJ Humphries is my number four guy out of Florida, a guy I like. He's very athletic. The only thing with him, he's had some injuries, and he also has had some limited experience. He's a total good player. Like I said, he's had some injuries, so he doesn't have a lot of experience. DJ Cummings, number five. He's a guy that we talked about in a draft last year. He's a guy that had played defensive end for 2 years, and then he switched to tackle. So, he's somebody that we're looking at. Number six, Jake Fisher from Oregon, a guy that the Lions may be looking at as a possible pick in the first, maybe some stuff around. There's a couple other guys that I also think they can go after. But what do you have at the offensive tackle position, man?
The top five that you have right there, I take no further than that. My thing is with those positions right there that we looked at though, I don't see them. The one thing that might be guys is you got UCLA,
the tackle might be there for us in the first round pick. Actually, that was in our mock draft to pick him up. Outside of that, I don't think the Lions are going to go that route, man. The way everything is shaped up, they might go tackle, offensive tackle first, come back with a guard, or a defensive tackle, and then go from there.
I don't know. I don't have any idea how they may go. You know, I think that tackle or guard, the whole line is got to be in effect somewhere, because right now you're looking at two starting positions that are up for grabs. And because Adrian Waddle hurt his knee so late in the season, we don't even know if he's going to be back to camp or not, getting to camp or not. So we're talking about Cornelius Lucas as possibly our right back. And you're talking about Lee Reese to the right tackle position. So you're going to – I see them expend – I see them – if they're going to move Riley Reed, who's been protecting your face that's blown that slide for 4 years, to the right tackle spot, that left guy they're bringing in has to be a clear upgrade. So I can see them possibly drafting somebody in the first two rounds at that line position. Now, I don't know if it's going to be – you know, if it's going to be a D tackle in comparison with that or what, but O-line has to be addressed in the first two rounds. And I wouldn't be surprised they go O-line or running back first two rounds, to be honest with you, and go defensive tackle.
See, that's the problem now. The running back thing is this. Like I said, I want them to take a running back. I keep telling you over and over again. Not in that first round, though. You know what I'm saying? My first pick has got to be addressing that line, defense or offensive line, not a running back. I keep saying that over and over again. People are laughing.
Yeah,
about
you say,
me.
You
so
say that. But I think you'd be more than ecstatic if they got Gurley at 23 or Gordon at 23. I think you would immediately change your mind. We don't know. Depends on how it falls. But I think they're going to go back. I wouldn't be surprised if they go running back in that second round, because I'm going to tell you, I like Jordan Bell a lot. I didn't know he was coming off knee and Achilles injury or surgery or whatever, but he's banged up. He hasn't had a bunch of carries, but he's banged up, and he's a real physical back who going to get some nicks and bruises. So it's going to be key that we have a running back who can give him some rest, some change of pace carries. There's a couple offensive guards that I like, Lincoln Tomlinson from Duke, Trey Jackson from Florida State, A.J. McCann from South Carolina, there's a guy named Marpet from Hobart, who's up in a D3 school, a couple other guys, one guy from McNeese State, Antoine Everett, who can play tackle and guard, another guy from Utah, huge guy, what's his name, Patusa. From Utah, 6'3", 335 pounds. Just a role grader out there. And there's a couple centers I like. Cameron Irving is the first, second-round prospect, a guy who's played some left tackle, also played right tackle as well, and ended up at center for Florida State and kind of dominated. So I think he's the first or second-round pick. There's a couple guys later in the, later on, Max Garcia from Florida, B.J. Finney from Kansas State, who can be some guys you may want to look at down the road. But I think it's key that we attack that offensive line. Like I said, right now we don't have a starter at left guard, and we possibly don't have a starter at right tackle. I would like to see a couple picks, in that direction. If they gave me two of the top three picks, I wouldn't be surprised. I look for them to possibly, get some picks. Additional pick or two, maybe trading down in the first or second round somehow to get some additional picks. But they really got to make some key improvement, I think, in the draft. I think their first three guys, two of those three guys have to be probably consistent, solid starters for it. And the third guy has to be a consistent role player for it, whether it be a third down back, nickel and dime corner, somebody who can give us a lift, man, to really keep up with, what's going on in our division, because it's been a lot of, improvement within Green Bay and Minnesota. Chicago, not so much, but Green Bay and Minnesota, man, they've gotten a little bit better.
Now, you're absolutely right with that, though.
we need to make sure we get all those adjustments done now. You know, I mean, with this draft, we need to make sure our first three, four, we got five picks in the draft this year now, something like that, something silly. Those all got to be players that's actually playing. We need those draft picks that we picked up last year to develop and stay injury-free and make an impact for us, too, because that's going to help us out this year with us trading away two picks and just picking up a fifth-round pick. I'm hoping that can trade that sixth and seventh pick, the two picks in the seventh round, they move up in the draft. I hope they do that type of move.
We already traded one in the seventh round pick. We got the five.
We have a five, a six, and a seven now. We have 2 7 picks. So I'm packaging the six and a seventh round pick to move up. You know what I'm saying? I do something just to get closer to the draft so we can get two more. You know, so our thing is it can't be hit or miss this year in the draft. Our draft picks got to be right on. Can't have any discrepancies or anything like that whatsoever. We can't handle what else, no projects, no nothing. They got to be kind of right on the fitness system plan off rip.
I think we should look at trading down to acquire more picks, not packing them picks, to move up. Because, again, I gave you the trade chart, man. You got to look at it one day, man, and see really value. You talk about a fifth and a seven-round pick, man, won't even get us nothing but possibly another fifth. Our best asset is for us to move down in these early rounds, man, and get some picks in that third or fourth round range. But we coming to the end of the show. Next week we're gonna do our final mock draft. We're gonna go through the whole thing real quick. We can project trades if you like. And talk about the draft, and we're gonna talk about that's gonna be our last. Our last show before Mayweather and Pacquiao, epic battle. We're going to talk about that. So everybody get ready, you know what I'm saying, get geared up for next week's show. Right now, man, I forgot, somebody just went yard on the line on the Tigers, so they're down 2-0 currently. And that's in the seventh inning. As far as the Red Wings,
Hello? Yeah, I'm here right now. Can you hear me?
I'm here.
You break it up again. Say that one more time.
I said, do you have the Red Wings score over there?
Actually, no, I do not right now. You know what I said? I was trying to bring up some more stuff on the guards for next week, but I'm sorry about that. Let me see here.
We're coming out to the last
Red Wings
show.
1-0 Red Wings at the top end of the second.
You said 1-0?
Red Wings are up 1-0.
All right. Red Wings. Hold on. We're down to the end of the show. Check us out next week. Like I said, we're talking about NFL draft. We're going to do our full mock 1-32, the first round. Also, we're going to talk about the preview for the Mayweather-Pacquiao epic battle. And just going to talk and kick it, baby, about the two guys getting in the ring finally. Guys, check us out next week. Check out our archives at all times. Remember, if you don't have a passion for anything else, have a passion for life, have a passion for sports. And let me see what I would like to get us off on. This is for you. Yeah, I always like to, you know what I'm saying, let you know, man, you appreciate it, man. I know you're a good father, man. So for you, brother,
check it out.
I'm in.
I call it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I saw my daughter send a letter to some boy her age who locked up. First I regretted it, then caught my rage. Like, how could I not protect her from this awful fate? Never tried to hide who I was, she was taught and raised like a princess, but while I'm on stage I can't leave her defenseless. Plus she see me switching women, poppers on some pimp shit. She heard stories of her daddy thugging. So if her husband is a gangster, can't be mad, I love him. Never, for her I want better. Homie in jail, dead dad. Wait till he come home, you can see where his head's at.
Niggas got game, they be trying to live. He seen your mama crib, plus I'm sure he know who your father is. Although you real, plus an honest kid. Don't think I'm slow, I know you probably had that chronic lid. You 17, I got a problem with it. She look at me like I'm not the cleanest father figure, but she rockin' with it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important. This morning I got a call, nearly split my wig. The social network said, Nas, go and get your kid. She's on Twitter, I know she ain't gon' post no pic of herself under dress, no inappropriate shit, right? Her mother cried when she asked, said she don't know what got inside this child's mind. She planted a box of condoms on her dresser, then she Instagrammed it. At this point I realize I ain't the strictest parent. I'm too loose, I'm too cool with her. Should've drove more time to school with her. I thought I dropped enough jewels on her. Took her from private school so she can get a balance to public school. They too nurture teen talent. They grow fast. One day she's your little princess. Next day she's talking boy business. What is this? They say the coolest players and foulest heartbreakers in the world. God gets us back, he makes us have precious little girls. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. For my brothers with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important.